Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys of Coppin' Crackers.
The longest wait, a generation on and more, for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League.
Hello everybody and welcome to a brand new episode of Coppin' Crackers, powered by Chipside Media Group. I'm your host Chris, and joining me tonight I have got Anik, Peter and Farouk to discuss all things LFC. We are recording straight after Liverpool have come out of a absolute war with a gang of cunts known as Atletico Madrid and their leader, the biggest bastard known to man, Diego Simeone. Gents, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Chris. How are you doing, bro?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Glad you're here, Anik. Farouk, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You sure you're good, Anik? I'm not sure, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just a bit upset. Zoom wasn't working for me, and hopefully, I thought that would have got me out of jumping on the pod, but a StreamYard link appeared from somewhere. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm here to discuss Liverpool, bro.
No problem. That's good. That's good.
Big media conglomerate like Touchline Media Group. We've got many methods and ways to record the pod. So don't worry about that, brother. Don't worry about that. And last but not least, Peter, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm all good. Bit of a chaotic night, but yeah, all good. I'm happy to be here and record this.
And of course, Peter is one half of the Bantic Show, which is a Coppin' Crackers Patreon exclusive. Pete, I don't know if you'd want to do a little bit of a promo for it, before I kind of give the guys the details of how they can sign up for more.
Yeah, so basically, I'm one half, and the other half of my co-host is Mike. We basically do a analytical podcast every fortnight, just basically giving the kind of statistical view of like the Liverpool game. So we'll just go through in terms of like XG, chances created, how the game's gone, like average position, stuff like that. Just any sort of thing that pops out, anything that's kind of interesting in what we do stylistically, we kind of just go over it. So yeah, just try and listen to it, give us feedback, and yeah, let us know how if you guys are feeling it.
Can't believe you're already three episodes in, which is insane. Because like yesterday we were doing all the show planning for it, but if you are a patron subscriber, no doubt you are enjoying the fantastic content that Mike and Peter are putting out. And if you are, you know, kind of thinking about subscribing to the Patreon, but you aren't sold, Take it from me, all bias aside, the XG of that podcast will exceed your best expectations. And if you do want to hear more from us here at Copy and Fracas, then do head over to the Patreon page. It is www.patreon.com/copyandfracas, and you can subscribe from just as little as £3 per month today. Let's get stuck into it then. So it ends up as Liverpool 3, Atletico Madrid 2. Fantastic win. Diego Simeone, with his balding head, runs off towards the end of the match in a bit of a hissy fit. Had everything, really. Had, you know, penalties, VAR decisions, big boots to the head. Pretty much like a Hell in a Cell match. So let's get started. Farouk, what are your overall thoughts on that performance, considering how we started the game and how we ended it, more than anything?
It was a bit chaotic. I don't think we created like crazy chances for our first two goals, to be fair. And that was reflected in the XG at halftime, which was, I think, 0.15 for us. And they had like 1.38. So I do believe there was a tad, like a stroke of luck in both our goals in the way they fell to us, that all the chances fell to us. But I feel like we were still the better team. And then you kind of felt the energy shift. And as Liverpool fans, we know how important that is. And, you know, when Griezmann scored the first goal, you could just see them start to have belief. And then they just kind of had momentum. And we were just abysmal, to be fair. I think the defence was so exposed by Hendo playing in the six. Because he isn't a six, let's be honest. So I'm not even going to blame him anymore, because he's not a six. But they had no protection. The line was all over the place. Robbo was too deep at times. We were trying to play the offside trap. And yeah, subsequently, we got punished quite a few times. And it could have been 3-4-2 to Atletico come the 60th minute, because we, like, Felix had a chance. Griezmann, when he chipped it, was that 2-1? Anyway, they should have been ahead, to be fair, at some point in the game. But away at Atletico, 3-2, however it comes, you take it. 3 wins from 3 in the alleged group of death. I'll take that. We still need, from what I understand, 2 points more to officially qualify. So we kind of we need to win the next game to seal, you know, the deal, and then probably just play our second team in the remaining two games. But honestly, I'm really happy. I'm really happy because, you know, the way the game kind of transpired kind of sets us up in a good, puts us in a good position for the game coming on the weekend. Because if it was so smooth sailing, then I think there would have been a bit of complacency. And I kind of believe Klopp would have tried to go with a really, like, maybe bringing in Fabinho for Milner, but it would have been a similar starting 11, which wouldn't have been good, you know? So I'm kind of happy with the way things are actually transpired. I think it's going to be favourable for us on Sunday, you know? So I'm happy.
Just check the XG philosophy on Twitter. Fantastic account for some of the stats there. Just looking at those half-time stats. So Atletico had 1.38, as you said, and of course Liverpool had 0.15. So it really did show the quality of the chances that we created. Obviously, at full-time, it ends up 1.31 to Liverpool, but it then also ends up 2.26 at Atletico Madrid. So there is a massive chasm in what was going on. I just want to stick with one thing you said there, Farouk, in terms of Henderson's positioning at the six. Obviously, he signed a new contract now at the club for the foreseeable future. As he kind of adjusts to playing in, what is the new midfield setup for this season, especially? Where do you see his kind of best position within this midfield?
I think eventually what will happen is he will be phased out at the starting 11 and he will be used not so sparingly initially. But to be honest, his availability is sketchy anyway. So I feel he'll be used in one of the midfield roles further forward. He won't be a six going forward. He just doesn't have the positional discipline, the defensive awareness to be an effective six. And you can imagine Fabinho is one of the best in his position in the world, and going to Henderson, who's an average six at best, it's just too much of a disparity in quality when he has to fill in the gap. So for me, I think long term, he ends up as a Milner in a sense where he's going to be, you know, like our cover but maybe not as versatile. But long term, I think he's going to come on maybe when we're, you know, trying to control, hold on to a lead or maybe set the tempo sometimes. Because I do think he's actually a very decent eight. Like, I'm not the biggest Hendo fan, but he's actually a decent eight. And when he plays without too much thought, where things are just instinctive, he's a good player in that sense. Just to be completely honest with you, I just think he doesn't have intelligence. Natural, like, a lot of the things he does is instinctive. If you see him in the, like, in the final third, if the ball comes to him quickly, he might do like a back heel here and there, back in the day anyway. And that's the kind of things that come natural to him. But in terms of as a thinking man, as a thinking player, he just either plays it safe or does something really stupid. So for me personally, long term, I just think he's going to come on. And, you know, just have a little, I don't know, like a little cameo every now and again. But that won't be for now. That'll probably be in the next 18 months.
Yeah.
So we have to deal with tennis now.
As he falls into that kind of Vincent Kompany zone. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting point you've raised in terms of his kind of, not football IQ, but he can't quarterback a midfield in a way an Alonso could or a Pirlo could, where they can just sit back and really dictate a game and kind of keep it on string. So it's really interesting, especially when you're kind of playing the six in the Liverpool system as well, which is something I expect Thiago to do in the very near future. Pete, I'll come to you.
Do you know what, yeah? I think there's certain games that Henderson is good in the six. So I think a game like this, where he has to cover a lot of ground in terms of when we don't have the ball, he has to kind of like stop counterattacks and, like, you know what I'm saying, stop Felix in transition. Not good at, right? He's not good at that. But like games against Burnley, Watford, where he's a six, and the thing is, he's not a quarterback, but what he's good at is circling the ball really quickly. So you see when he gets it, he just gives it to Trent straight away. He gives it to Matip straight away. So he just keeps it moving really, really quickly. So when I'm playing like low blocks, I think he's actually really good playing the six, because he's able just to keep circling the ball really quickly.
But Pete, how hard is it to pass it to Trent and Robbo? Who can't do that? Let's be honest.
some people don't, like, he moves it really quickly, so it helps us side to side. So when we break down teams, we go to our fullbacks and we go side to side. We try and find angles.
No, I get you. I completely
agree. You know what I'm saying? So,
don't you think with the evolution...
It's easy to play against low blocks. It's obviously easier to play against low blocks. Don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah. But don't you think the passing patterns in the midfield changed a little bit, whereby I don't think that's going to be of too much use? Because if you see how we started in... when Harvey was playing, usually it was the six to Trent and then Trent build. Now it was the six to Harvey, and then Trent kind of came in on the midfield. So it's kind of changed. So I don't know how effective he'll be in our new kind of setup in that sense.
No, yeah, that is a good point. I think we are trying to look to play out centrally more. So I think that is a good point. But yeah, I don't know. I would say we probably need another six coming in to help Fabinho with his workload anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, the one that we wanted is now signed up for Prison FC. So, you know, we won't say too much on that as a backup six. So, you know.
Allegedly.
I didn't say no names.
True. That is very true. I was going to say, the media train is very strong. It's very strong. Pete, I'll stick with you. First 15 minutes or so for Liverpool, you can see the remnants of the game plan really coming to fruition. Salaries absolutely floating in those first 15 minutes. We're moving the ball really well, paying Atletico and kind of really beating them at their own game. Does that give you a lot of encouragement for games this season where we are going to be facing opposition, where they're in a very rigid and kind of defensive focused formation and set up as Atletico Madrid do play?
Yeah, I think we've actually done that quite well this season in terms of being able to break down low blocks and beating the dross this season. So the way Atletico do play is like a low block Premier League team. And you've seen that we're not have goals and we're not shy of creating like individual brilliance and moments where we can score. So you see that Salah, literally, as soon as he gets the ball, they're kind of scared of him, to be honest. they just back off. Yeah. And then, like, they're kind of thinking, oh, sugar, like, here he goes again. And then, like, he goes past one, goes past two, he shoots. And it's not really a good shot, but the fact that they've already backed away from him, it turns into a dazing situation. I think it comes off Kondogbia and it goes in. So, yeah, our attack literally is on fire this season. So, I'm really happy with our attack, man.
No, 100%. I mean, I will say, I think in the past few weeks, Jota kind of needs to bring up the levels a little bit. I think he's dropped off. Do you think that's just more down to the fact that with the injuries and a little bit of overworking, or do you think there's a little bit more he can do to kind of just improve his overall game going forward?
Jota, it's interesting because it's like not all of them can be on fire at the same time. So when Firmino comes into form, Jota has to go out of, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, while one lives, the other one can't survive. It's frustrating, you know what I'm saying? So that's just the way it is with our attack, you know. Some of them will be out of form, some of them will be in the form. So, yeah, I'm not really too worried about it. Obviously, Jota had a quite unsustainable start to his Liverpool career. So a drop-off was inevitable at some point. So hopefully he can pick up soon.
No, I completely agree. Anik, I'll come to you. Obviously, we scored the two goals. I'm going to give it as a Salah goal. Let's be real. I mean, it does clip off Milner, but I mean, it would be, you know, as the Denzel meme, I'm leaving with something. I'm from around the way. I'm leaving with something. That is one of those type of goals. Milner's. But that is Salah's goal. Obviously, it's an individual piece of brilliance from Keita, at the pinnacle of his first half. We'll kind of talk about his performance a little bit later on. But I want you to kind of talk us through that first Atletico Madrid goal, because for me, it looked like, obviously it was backed up half time with some of the analysis on BT Sports, but it did look a little bit offside. What were your thoughts on that?
So I think obviously for the first goal, I think first and foremost, Naby was a bit to blame for that. I think Lamar glided past him way too easily. And then when the ball went across the box, I don't know who the right back was, but he didn't even like cross it. It's like he pushed the ball and it moved in slow motion. And it was quite frustrating that we couldn't get rid of the ball, which frustrated me. Obviously, Lamar was in an offside position and then he came on. So my initial thought once Griezmann tucked it away was like, yeah, there's offside. Like there must be something wrong here, because you can't just give a goal for that. But then when you saw it a couple more times, I was like, yeah, it just seems like a legitimate goal. And then when they went back on BT Sport and said that, oh, Matic would have cleared it, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think he probably would have cleared it. I personally think that it was a legitimate goal, and it was just a bit of poor defending. And if I was to blame someone, it would probably be Naby for just allowing Lamar to get away from him too easily.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You guys share the same sentiment as Anik for that goal?
Yeah, Naby's culpable in that goal, man. Like, too easy to like. I mean, obviously it was close, and from what I remember, it was like, maybe it's not the best place to commit a foul, but it was just so easy. Lamar was on fire today, by the way.
Yeah, played really well.
I don't watch Atletico often, but you know, largely it's, I think he's been considered somewhat flop. So to see him perform like this is like, okay, we see why they probably paid quite a bit of coin for him. But yeah, Naby boyed it, man. But I don't know what he was thinking. Defensively, it was absolutely shocking today. And he had a hand in three
in
goals.
The second goal.
Yeah, exactly. He scored a goal. Was that fault for the first goal? And then partly to blame for the second goal we conceded. Even if it's ever so slightly, he was still part of the blame. Made it so easy for Felix, but I won't go into that. I won't steal anybody's thunder. But yeah, Naby was shocking defensively today.
Yeah, Felix for the second goal. It is, I'm not gonna say moment of brilliance. I think that's a bit overdoing it, but it's very good technical
100% skill
for him to obviously kind of do what he does, carry the ball in. And it's a brilliant ball to Griezmann.
No, yeah. If I'm trying to get into my analytical, but just like in terms of being.
No, let's go, man. Let's give the people a good preview of what they're getting on Vantage.
No, but like, it's not even analytical. It's just like in terms of like when you play football, yeah, like obviously Felix has got the ball there and like he kind of, so he's doing the right thing first, because he jockeys at first him. He's like jockeying. And then Felix kind of has a touch where he's like, okay, I'm trying to entice you to come in. And then Naby just like jumps in and it's like, no, that's what he wants you to do. So he glides past him. Once he's past him, you got to foul him there. Like, you just have to
100%. It's really simple.
He's got to sweep him out, or because there it becomes dangerous. As soon as he gets past you there in the situation, it becomes a danger attack. Like, it's fine. Like, obviously, Felix is a good player. He's a spooky player. He got past you, cool. But you got to take him out, foul him there. So obviously, once he goes past him, the attack goes, and then obviously it's a good pass into Griezmann. I don't think Van Dijk thinks that it's going to get to Griezmann, but Van Dijk, his body shape is all wrong there. So he's just like, he's facing the other way, and by the time he kind of turns to face Griezmann, Griezmann's long gone. You know what I'm saying? Griezmann takes Griezmann, fantastic touch into the box, finishes it. So I think Naby should take him out there, and Van Dijk's body shape unusually is all wrong.
Sorry, Pete, on that, like with Van Dijk, I don't know, maybe we was going to get into that, but I just think, I don't know, I'm worried about his load. I'm not a sports scientist or something, anything like that, but I do feel like we're taking a bit of a risk with the way we're playing. Sounds silly because everybody's supposed to have like consistency with their back four, but given what happened last season, you'd like to see a little bit more rotation.
Especially when you got the options.
I actually agree with you there, because he was looking a bit,
you know,
not
what I mean?
Slow today, but he just wasn't looking quick enough to the ball, wasn't going in for challenges, wasn't getting close to his man. And actually for that second goal, once João Felix does get past Naby, I still think there's a chance to prevent a goal from happening there if Van Dijk is a bit closer to him.
Yeah.
But look, it is what it is. I agree with you. I think we need to look to manage his minutes just for the next few months, because the season is more than likely going to go the distance. So let's look after him now.
And we've still got one more international break, and then we've got the fixture congestion that we have seasonally in December. So personally speaking, I see the squad utilization has been better this season, but I still need some work, you know, especially basically it was the same starting 11, right? Two games.
Yeah, against Watford, he's got to play one of Konate or Gomez. Like, he has to.
Exactly. He's running, he's playing a dangerous game. You know, he's actually playing a really dangerous game.
Like, I mean, he wants rhythm, right? So he wants rhythm. Yeah. The back line, and obviously he wants to stop conceding, but at the same time it's like these guys have just come back from injury, and like, yeah, you're just playing a dangerous game, like Farouk said. So I just want to see Konate or Gomez come into it. Obviously, do you know what, it's a difficult one, because you're kind of thinking, I need to play Van Dijk alongside one of Konate or Gomez, because I don't trust them to come in like boom straight away. But like, they're quality, top quality defenders. You bought them for a reason. You bought Konate for money for a reason. So yeah, you gotta trust them, man.
Yeah, and Matip has been better than Van Dijk this season, so I wouldn't be too concerned about playing Matip with one of Konate or Gomez. And also his usage of Tomiskas has been a joke, because Watford, why is Robert playing that game?
I will say he brings off Robertson and Trent with about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I do agree, when you are in that position where, let's be honest, that game was over about 20 minutes in. You can do a bit of forward planning, but I think the thing with Klopp is he's very much job done until it is job done. So I think getting this wrapped up, especially with the Champions League, and you know, hopefully we, you know, touch wood, we get another win against Atletico Madrid in the return game. You've got basically two games to essentially play with in terms of squad rotation, you know, trying to figure more things out. Because I think there is a genuine case to say, especially with Trent looking a little bit leggy in certain situations, and you don't want him to be wet to the ground like Robbo has. I think there's a genuine thing to say, let's try out Tsimikas at right back for certain games.
Yeah, and he's actually quite good with his right foot. If that's one of the first things I noticed when he played pre-season for us, when he first came, I was like, oh, he's quite decent with his right foot, even like his dribbling and his passing for his right foot.
It's crazy, man. The Tsimikas thing is insane, because this is a guy this time last year, we're thinking, well, he can't be that good.
He
can't get in the squad, but now he's played a few games, he's got accumulated to what we do. It's like, okay, it's actually a very decent option. So another W for the Liverpool scouting department.
And controversially, I'll say that he's got better delivery than Robbo, but yeah, I'm not going to get into that. I mean,
Robbo was okay today as well.
Check the tapes.
He's got better, like, so standard. If I was to pick one of them to take a corner, Shimkas is taking a corner. But like,
delivery is fantastic.
Yeah, like he's got better, like, standing delivery, but like in terms of like running onto the variation, it's still Robertson for me.
Yeah, but you know, like Robbo's a lot of crossers, inshallah. Like, if you remember this, the Salah first goal today was crushing, inshallah, from Robbo, really.
Is it inshallah, and, or does he know where Salah's going to be, though? He knows Salah's going to be somewhere.
Salah had to turn and face the crowd to receive the ball and then turn again. Let's be honest. That was crushing, inshallah, man. Let's call a spade, man. But yeah, no, it's cool. No, I'm not saying Tsimikas is better than Robbo. I just think he's earned his place to be in, you know, in heavy rotation. You know what I mean?
Completely agree.
Yeah, let's see.
Obviously, he brings off Keita at half time. Can we say that was a good decision to bring on Fabinho?
Yeah, I mean,
definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, the game, I said it, the game's crying out for Naby to come off. I'll be honest with you, it was crying out for Naby to come off. I don't think I'd seen a performance from like that from Liverpool, especially in the first half, where we were getting carved open by Atletico. It was quite worrying. It was like a throwback to, like, you know, it reminded me a lot of the Sevilla game, I think in 17-18, when, you know, we went two goals up and then we just have Atletico just coming at us. And it was clear to see that Naby, from what I saw, was a problem there. He just wasn't defensively astute. So I think the game was crying out for Fab. As soon as he came on, it wasn't like a drastic change. And like all of a sudden, you know, we're defending well and we're controlling the game. We still saw Atletico have a few chances. But when it came to seeing the game out towards the end, it was quite clear to see that if Fabinho's on the pitch, we got control of the game. And ironically, we only saw that after about 80 minutes, but I just felt so much more comfortable having Fab there than Keita. But yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Keita's goal, though. His goal today was amazing, but I still think at halftime it was the right decision to take him off for Fab.
Yeah, it was a brilliant goal. Let's not take anything away from that. I did have a weirdo in my mentions saying that why wasn't Milner taken off? And I was like, probably our best midfielder in that first half. And then he was calling him old and slow. I was like, okay. That doesn't mean he wasn't the best midfielder in the first half. Bro, but
we're not going to get hate regardless, honestly. Milner's going to get hate. It's one of the things, isn't it? He's in the lineup, he's going to get hate. What he's playing, he's going to get hate.
It's going to be very funny when he gets a 1-year
extension. The thing is, it's like, I'm sorry, tell your faves to stay fit and Milner won't have to play. Simple as that. He's covering you guys' backs.
Do you not think he was that bad in the first half?
Who, Milner or Keita?
Yeah.
No, Milner was decent. Milner was decent. I think it was fine.
I thought Milner was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right.
I'm the biggest advocate of him not starting, but he was actually decent.
But it's a thing where it's like, if people can't stay fit, like, Milner's going to start. Milner's not in the first choice 11. We know that. You know, when everyone's fit, Milner doesn't start. But when people keep getting injured, keep being unavailable, then Milner comes in. You know what I'm saying? So it's not his fault.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, I think we must have the most injury prone midfield of the top six.
Yeah, it has to be.
So Hendo, Thiago. We've gone over this anyway. I just think, like Pete's saying, if you got a problem with it, get fit in it. Simple. You know what I mean? Get fit. Because I don't like Milner there, but the rest of them, man, they're my jokers, fitness-wise, bro. I don't know what they're eating at home, but they need to address that ASAP, you know? Really annoyed with Naby's performance, you know? I'm sorry to kind of go back to it. I'm really annoyed because it's like it takes a couple steps forward and then 10 steps back. Listen, I'm going to go on record to say he's never going to be the player we want him to be. Not even half. You know, he's never. It's just one of those things, man. This is like, for real. Let's just pray Thiago gets fit and not look back.
If Naby's not going to be the player we want him to be, that means obviously we need to get some form of next stage replacement in. Who would you guys look to try and bring in? We're just trying to look to someone who could play as a six and as an eight.
I don't. Personally speaking, I feel like our midfielders are. It's weird. We have a lot of functional midfielders, but if we were to replace Naby, we'd have to replace him with a more progressive midfielder. I think it would be we'd go and miss to replace him with a six, although we need one. Because Ox going forward is decent, but his first touch is just he's lost his first touch, chasing the ball time. He was decent to be fair today, but we still need that creative midfielder because Thiago's more of a controller, like a more ball possession kind of six. But we need if we were to lose Naby, I'd go for an attacking midfielder option to be fair.
No, I kind of disagree. You know, I would go the other way. I would get the guy from Brighton.
I don't know who that is. Speaking, I don't know.
The Malian midfielder from Brighton. that's the guy I would get. Just in terms of because I don't like the way people are playing through us. I don't like the way our fullbacks are not getting covered. You saw in the Milan game, the Brentford game, people were like double teaming our fullbacks. The Man City game, I've never seen like midfielders being a half spaces so much against us. Like that was unbelievable. So obviously there's a certain midfielder that left you know what I'm saying last season. And it's not that we're missing him, but it's just that in terms of covering spaces, we need someone that can do that. And we have Harvey Elliott, we have Curtis Jones, they're midfielders that can you know what I'm saying? Be more progressive. So I would get someone who's playing a six, playing an eight. Hopefully the Brighton midfielder, I don't know. Well, he can sort his thing out in it.
I'd go for someone like, I think someone like Brian Gravenberch would be pretty decent.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of him, but apparently he's really good. So
good.
Yeah, I'd go for Jude. But that's the back of midfielder.
If anyone is, it's got to be Jude, but. Let's be realistic with.
Oh I
know you're getting comfy, but I don't want you to get too comfortable. Because there's a couple things I want to pick up on. You said that we'd finish third in this group, right?
Yeah, I said we'll finish third in this group. Yeah.
So we would have finished behind what? Who? AC Milan, who have 0 points, or was it Porto who we smashed?
It would have been Porto. Yeah. But that was back in what September when the draw was made.
September, really?
That was 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, bro.
Did I say that?
You're gonna have to smoke that L, bro, because brother, I don't understand what you thought was gonna happen, but you know Liverpool always leaving with something when it comes to European group stages. You know what I mean? Under Klopp, so I don't get it.
When it came to the draw. When it came to the draw, and I seen the draw, I seen Porto there. Obviously, the whipping boys. We can do a job on them. AC Milan, I wasn't too sure about, and obviously Atletico. They seem to have our number whenever we play them. So I didn't expect it to be an easy group as much as it is. And we've seen in the two games that we've had, it's not been plain sailing. Today was an ugly win. Let's be honest about it. Milan, we didn't make it easy for ourselves. We had a penalty that Salah missed at 2-0. Obviously, it resulted in us. Going into half time. Oh no, sorry, at 1-0 resulted us going 2-1 at half time. We eventually won. So it's not like it's been the easiest group for us.
Yeah, but in
past seasons, it's always gone to match day 5 or 6. And I felt as though with the caliber of opposition that we're playing, it was much harder than previous years.
No, I disagree with that personally, because I think the group we have the year we win it is one of the hardest groups I've ever seen. With PSG, Napoli, and I can't remember who the 13 was.
But those two alone make it extremely difficult.
And I actually agree with you there, Chris. But that year, it went to match day 6, if you remember. It went down to the last game against Napoli when Salah scored the winner. I felt as though if that happens this year with the fixtures that we have, there could have been a possibility that happens. Obviously, I was taking a pessimistic approach to it. Right now, look, we got 9 points. I just want us to kick on and make sure that, you know, come match day 5.
Do you want us to kick on though?
Of course I do. Of course I do.
Okay. On to my next thing. Sorry to go away from the Champions League.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So
where do you say we finish in the league again?
I'm still saying third. I'm still saying third.
Okay, you're saying third, which is not it's not unreasonable, to be fair. I don't agree, but I still think it's unreasonable. But Anik, honestly speaking, this heel, you know, kind of pantomime you're playing, it needs to stop, man. Like, for real, it's just like we need an intervention. We need to kind of like make it make sense what you're doing. You've gone from, and it's quite remarkable. It's admirable. Someone who has so many faces. You're like the many faced man in Lord, not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. Car, like less than 9 months ago, maybe.
He was the most optimistic guy.
Optimistic, gone from Salah needing the bench to Salah being better than Ronaldo. Like, you change up so well, and it's just like, I need to understand it. Like, is it a gimmick, or is it like something? You legitimately believe what you say?
Look, I genuinely believe that we're going to come third come the end of the season. And hold on. On that point, do you still think we win the league?
Yeah, I do, you know.
Okay. That's cool. So I really do. I mean, behind that. So hold on. You're going to question me. Let me question you. What's your reasoning behind us winning the league? Because as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of talk about year 2021 getting missed out, and all of a sudden Liverpool are going to bounce back to 18, 19, 19, 20 times. So yeah, what's your reasoning behind?
I think we've gone 21 games unbeaten. If I'm correct, right over the last end. So in terms of form, we're in the best form in the country over the back end of, since April. Now, of course, we've had three disappointing draws. I think all of them were disappointing. But what I'd say is that, you know, man for man, we have the best starting 11. So that team will always have a chance of winning the league. We have the know-how. Chelsea have a few players that have won the league with them. So they possess the know-how, as do City. But I feel like City losing Aguero is a massive, massive, massive blow. And I just feel like last season was clearly an anomaly. Anybody with sense would see that the team that has suffered the most injuries to their first 11 in the Premier League history can't be judged on that season. That is literally a fact. It's not something I'm making up or anything like that. The starting 11, the average starts at the starting 11, missed the most days in that season compared to any other team in the history of the Premier League. So to base our performance or your predictions based on what happened last season from, I don't know, maybe what, January through to March, it's a bit silly, because you can see this team over the last 3 years. There's been enough for you to know that this team is operating at a very elite level. And you will not see many better Liverpool teams. So if you want to use this time, this short time that we have of us being really, really good to criticise and be on the fence, good luck to you, because, you know, when we're actually bad, when Klopp leaves, you're going to have a... you're going to have even more fun doing that, because we're never going to be this good again, in my opinion. This is as good as it gets. So for you to see how we're playing now and how we've been playing since April and say, yeah, we're going to finish third. We've been better than Chelsea. Don't let the Champions League fool you. We've been better than Chelsea. We've been better than City since April. So, you know, I have, you know, enough evidence to say that we can win the league. Simple. It's really there. In terms of numbers, it's there, bro. So I don't know what other argument you can present to me.
So, okay, I'm just going to come back to one point before we continue, Chris. Since the end of last season and the start of this one, there's a lot of variables that come into play that need to be working for us, yeah? We've just had one of our crucial centre-backs come out who need to come back and be fit and firing. We've lost, you know, arguably our most consistent midfielder. And the other point that I was going on about is the attack. Now, the attack, okay, fair enough. I'm going to put my hands up and say the attack has been fit and firing on all cylinders. But when it comes to the league, right now, my feet are firmly planted on the floor with nothing to get, you know, out of our seat about when it comes to league. We've only beaten teams that are 14th and below.
Okay.
So I just want to let the season evolve a bit before I make another prediction. But right now, I still firmly believe that we're going to end up coming third.
Okay, so do you think Chelsea and City are better than us?
I think over the course of the season, yes, they are, and they will finish above us. Right now,
what evidence have you seen in the league to show that Chelsea are better than us over the course of the last 18 months in the league? Because Chelsea, you know, yeah, we finish on top of...
So right now they're ahead of us and they beat a team.
Chelsea last year, right?
Sorry?
Yeah. They beat what?
Sorry, they just beat a team that we couldn't beat.
And they also lost to a team that we didn't lose to, right?
Yeah. But regardless, okay, so they're ahead of us in the league, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are ahead of us in the league. Bad point. Fantastic. Brilliant.
Okay. So there you go. I don't know what else you want to say.
I don't understand. I'm saying to you, since April, what Chelsea have done like in the league, we've been a lot better than them, right?
Yeah, they've actually gone and bought a world-class striker. That's what they've done. And they picked
and he scored how many goals? He scored how many goals?
It doesn't matter how many goals he scored. They picked up a world-class striker.
No. The world-class striker they bought, has he scored more than Jota in the league? Maybe Jota. But everybody else, he hasn't. So what difference has he made?
I think he's improved the level of the squad.
He's improved their attack.
Yeah, he's improved their attack.
Did you see the XG against Mr. Statsman? Did you see the XG against Brentford?
It doesn't matter. What was their result?
Did Lukaku have a shot on target against Brentford? When's the last time Lukaku scored? Has he gone like 3 or 4 games in the league without scoring? Am I mistaken?
It don't matter.
My brother, what are you talking about?
And it doesn't matter. They've strengthened, okay? And they won the Champions League. And they're ahead of us in the league. So whatever you say and whatever you want to do.
I'm stating facts. You said, No. I'm stating facts. You said their attack has improved.
It has improved, yeah.
Statistically, has it though?
What do you mean?
All right, we don't have to get statistics.
Their points totals increased. Look at their points total as it was this year, right now, to where it was last year. And you see that they've got
Would that be based on the attack or is it based on the fact that their keeper, they're saying he should win the Ballon d'Or. What does that tell you? We should be on the Ballon d'Or podium. That's nothing to do with their attack, bro. You're waffling.
What do you mean? Are you trying to tell me that they have six wins?
So basically, they are relying so heavily on Edouard Mendy being an elite shot stopper at a rate that is unsustainable. Yeah. What Alisson was doing in the first 4 games of the season for us. These things don't last forever. There will be a game where they concede 3 goals. Is their attack good enough to kind of keep up with that?
They're not where they are because of their attack, Anik. That's a poor angle. Like, you should have gone with the defence at the very least.
The defence is still there. The defence is still there. It doesn't change that much.
No, but you said that they've improved their attack. And I'm just saying,
they have improved
their attack. Lukaku has scored like 3 goals, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Now, Pete, how many goals he scored? Has he scored 3 in the league?
It's not four. It's three or four.
One against Arsenal for sure.
Yeah, one against Arsenal, and then I think he scored 2 or 3. He scored the same amount as well. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Lukaku is a good player, but to say their attack has improved this season is actually not true. If you go and listen to the Chelsea hour, they'll tell you all about it. But I'm just saying, like, Anik, you asked me for my reasons for why I think we're gonna, you know, win the league, and I've given you like serious hard evidence. What you based us not winning the league on was, and in the chat there's evidence of that, was January through to March, which was again unprecedented injuries. And don't get me wrong, some of the games we shouldn't have lost because we were just poor, but what you're basing it on is kind of silly. That's all I'm going to say to you.
But let's not forget, you're a stats guy as well, okay? And we went over.
No. I'm in the middle.
Okay. So do you want to explain to you why that same attack went over 10 hours without scoring?
When? What are they doing right now?
No. Why did that attack back then go over 10 hours without scoring? Can I not use that? It was from last season.
Literally, bro. It means nothing.
Do
you know what it is? Anik, you know I'm not the kind of guy you can put in these weird corners because it doesn't work with me. Do you know what I mean? The attack is performing. So what they did last season is irrelevant. They're performing better than any attack in Europe. So you talking about the 10 hours they dealt with last year makes no sense. We're seeing the best Salah we've ever seen, period. And you're telling me about 10 hours last season?
Best in the world.
No, it happened last season.
12 in 10.
It happened last season. So what do you want me to turn around and say at the start of the year?
Like three less than the whole Chelsea team.
So are you trying to tell me not to base my opinion on last year and just completely forget about what happened last year?
No, I'm telling you
not to base your... That would be absolutely crazy to think that.
I'm telling you not to base your opinion on 3 months as opposed to 3 years. That's what I'm telling you to do, bro.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. But let's not forget that we lost our centre-back and we lost our most consistent midfielder as well.
Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
I don't think so, no. No, I said, there's a lot of variables that need to be balance before we can turn around and say, yeah, Liverpool are strong title contenders.
Strong, serious. Okay, fair. That's your opinion. I strongly disagree. Like I said, but you know, each to his own. In it, like you got a little bit nervous because of 3 months that happened. In it, like us man, I made a stronger stuff. In it, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's not forget. City swung 25 points on us as well. Yeah.
They what?
City swung 25 points on us.
And they're behind us now. Cheers.
And yeah, cheers. Does that not suggest that something can happen?
And for more of this fantastic content, you can find out more on the Copper and Fracas Patreon page. That is www.patreon.com/Copper and Fracas and sign up today. Going back to the match, I think it's a bit wild that they were Griezmann, more than anybody, was protesting his innocence when he essentially delivered, Pete, you'll appreciate this reference, he delivered a big boot that was something worthy of a Hulk Hogan match in 1990. Just, I can't believe that they even protested that. Do you guys agree that it was a straight tendon off?
Yeah, he's got a
Yeah, of course.
It's red card. 100%.
Intent or no intent, it was a red card.
Yeah, I think Julian would have been very proud of the times that intent was mentioned in the BT broadcast. that was Billy's favourite word over the summer. Obviously, the second half performance, it does increase a little bit. Obviously, they go down to 10 men and we have a little bit more of the ball, but there were still some woes in terms of, I think, Atletico Madrid have broken us a little bit too easily in transition. Pete, I'll come to you on this. Do you think that was more down to the kind of the foundation of how we are setting up with the midfield now to not be as conservative as it once was in years gone past to obviously enable a bit more attacking prowess for the fullbacks? Did you think this midfield machine as it is now is less conditioned to be set up to be broken against on counterattacks, etc.?
My thing is that we are struggling to find the right balance of the midfield to play. So what we keep doing is that, like, obviously not through no fault of Klopp's own, someone might get unavailable, someone might get injured, someone might be quarantining, so on. So what ends up happening is that Fabinho's out, Henderson goes in a six, Curtis Jones gets injured, you know what I'm saying, Milner comes back in, so we've seen throughout the years our midfield has basically stayed the same. So normally you have like Fabinho, Genie, and then plus one, or you know what I'm saying, or Henderson, Genie, plus one. But where we keep switching every game, this balance, you know what I'm saying, is messing us up. And the way our team works, our fullbacks have to work they have to be cohesive with the centre midfielder that's on their side. And if that keeps changing, yeah, I'm saying the relationship between both of them is gonna keep. It's not gonna be gelled properly, and we're gonna keep feeling the breakdown of that. So Keita's playing on the right today. I'm barely ever see Keita playing on the right. You know what I'm saying? When Keita plays, he's normally on the left center mid. So Keita and Trent, I don't think they have any relationship. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably breaking down. You know what I'm saying? So, and obviously Henderson, like Farouk says, playing in the six, he's not used to it. He's not the best six in the world. Ratete, Milner's come back in. So we just need to find the right balance and keep this kind of rhythm of midfielders that come into the midfield. So hopefully Fabinho can stay in there. Maybe Henderson can come in on the right centre mid, and we can just, the left-sided one might change Ratete. But you know what I'm saying? We just need to keep the same type of midfielders, keep playing them, giving them a rhythm, and eventually we'll be able to sort it out. But it's changing every game. It's kind of messing it up for us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, no, I like completely agree with that sentiment. Alec, I'll come to you.
I've got one thing to say though. This guy, I always give him a hard time. I'm not his biggest fan, you know what I'm saying? But Ox, fair enough. He came on today. He done well. You know what I'm saying? He held the ball up well. There was one-two done with Salah. Really nice touches. Got a shot off. You know what I'm saying? When he came on today, he was like a big spark of energy, and he done well when he came on, man. So fair play to him. I'm not his biggest fan, but I give credit where it's due.
Got a really crucial interception as well when he was tracking back too, which was really good to see. So no, man, hopefully he can kind of start making the most of these opportunities going forward, as you know, with the fixtures piling up, there is going to be a big role for him to hopefully play, that he can kind of have a big contribution to. Anik, I'll come to you. We get the penalty, and again, Atletico Madrid plead innocence that wasn't a penalty. Most blatant penalty you've ever seen in your life, isn't it?
It was so funny. Like, I wanted to laugh when he conceded that penalty. It was actually a moment of stupidity. I was like, what the hell is he doing? I think even the BT Sport commentators were laughing as well. So then I was obviously just waiting. Obviously, I actually thought it was going to be VAR checked, but I don't think they went and had a look at it. Yeah, Stonewall penalty. Stupid moment of defending. And actually a great penalty from Salah as well. Very, very composed. And I think he knew what he was doing. I think the keeper expected him to obviously blast it or smash it, but it seemed like Salah took it well. The penalty shout the other way, though, I was like, oh my God, what are we doing? But yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, our penalty, yeah, Stonewall penalty, perfectly tucked away from Mo.
Sorry, quick point, Pete. I don't know, like, maybe you can give me some insight, because I was a bit baffled. You see how you're talking about the right side of midfield, yeah? Why do you think it is that, like, after the first 10, 15 minutes, Salah went like some time without getting the ball? What do you think they did like tactically to kind of stop us getting the ball out to Salah? Because I'm a bit concerned about that, to be fair.
It looked like they became a lot more aggressive. So like Carrasco was just standing on his toes, like literally standing on his... There was one time when Salah got it, he tried to twist out, Carrasco, boom, you know what I'm saying? And then like, he just onto him straight away. Crazy. So as soon as
opened up the Ashley Young textbook.
Exactly. So Hermoso and Carrasco were on his side, and they were just lit. So when he scored, I think after he scored that goal, they just became a lot more aggressive, and they kept double teaming on him. So that's what happened, really. It all happened because Salah's our best player, right? So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They became a lot more aggressive onto him. But yeah.
Because you could see him getting the ball, like even in the second half, getting the ball, and he's just having to turn back and pass it because they just closed everything down. It was mad. I was like, rah. But yeah.
I mean, I personally didn't think we were composed enough on the ball. We were just too hurried, too rushed. And then it was only after 85 minutes when we got our foot on the ball that I could see like, okay, yeah, now we have actual control of the game.
Mm.
Up until that point, it felt as though they could score at any moment, which was quite worrying for me, to be honest.
Mm.
That's true. Yeah, the space that Felix was finding in behind was just wild. I don't know how he was just finding all these pockets of space. Just
he's creme de la creme. What player?
If you're looking, if they were looking for someone to, you know, have as the next kind of, if you wanted a Firmino like replacement,
perfect,
bro, perfect. Fits the bill, literally. Absolutely. And he's been schooled in defending by his manager as well, so that also helps.
Yeah, he needs to get out of that contract though. He signed a death row contract
Is he on the death row contract?
He signed a 7-year deal, right? Yeah, 7-year contract.
Good lord. To be fair, Saul signed the exact same thing, and he's sixth choice at Chelsea now. So
madness.
It's wild. Farouk, I'll come back to you. Alisson gets man of the match for this game. He could do a little bit better for the second goal, but overall, in terms of his positioning and his shot stopping for this game, he stops us from conceding at least two goals. How brilliant was he today for us?
You know what, Alisson, that thing he does whereby he makes himself big,
yeah,
and it's like, this is like, just say his strong arm is out there and then the other one's flapping, so if you try and chip him, he's got it. It's like, it's incredible. I think he definitely keeps us in the game today. Deserved man of the match performance. I mean, Salah did score too, but he wasn't amazing today. It's good to, like, honestly speaking, I think this game is a lot more positive than maybe some would see, because some players needed a game like that. Alisson, he's been all right this season, but he hasn't been super tested, if my memory serves me correctly. So it's good. Like going into a game that we're going into this weekend, because everybody in the group chat can admit, like it's a big game against Athletic Copa. Everybody's thinking about Sunday, innit? So, you know, Alisson just being back on top form just gives you that bit more confidence, especially where our defence isn't where it needs to be. I think it's really, really important to have one or the other if one's not performing. So, yeah, man, he was just immense. He was like, if you look at him versus Oblak today, like, yeah, he's the better keeper. Obviously, over time, Oblak's been better, but he's just, like, incredible. He's the best keeper we've had in my time as a Liverpool fan. You know what I mean?
Without a doubt. I think we all know Pepe Reina, but the tail end of Pepe Reina was quite a bit of a horror show at certain points. But no, Ali, man.
Yeah, fantastic. And he signed a new contract this year, right? So, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. As long as he can stay injury-free, which is annoying to say for a keeper. I'm really, really good. Especially, look, he missed the Watford game and he's come back and he's playing like that. It's top, man. Top, top stuff. His hair's a bit like yours, Chris. You know, so, yeah, man.
I see. I was really annoyed when he had it quite long and he like, got cut.
Cool,
like, man. We could have been...
You're twinning, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, the money I could have earned as an Alisson impersonator is now just gone. So, yeah, is what it is. Well, there will be a full preview of the Manchester United game over on our Patreon page. Again, that is www.patreon.com/copperfracas. And, of course, as is with Touchline Tradition, there will be a fight card, which is scheduled for 9 p.m. on Thursday. It will be live on the Touchline Fracas YouTube page for the Cop End side of things. We have got Mush and Harold representing. They will be going up against, I believe, Sebi and Timmy.
Timmy. Yep.
Well, that'll be good entertainment. Some good back and forth, some good banter. Find out what the combined 11 looks like.
If they get any more than three, guys, if they get any more than three,
it's free. It's no more than three. They can't even argue for De Gea as well.
I'm going to be having a good word with both of them. So, you know, make sure you come in. Be like Anik. Be stating your point, even if you want to be strong and wrong. You got to be in there, man. You got to be in there, and you got to make sure that we dominate. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, that'll be available on the Touchline Fracas YouTube page, 9 p.m. on Thursday. And if you do want more of a, if you want the Watford analysis, that is available again on our Patreon page. Myself, Harold, and Fahy did a post-match reaction show on Saturday after that 5-0 win. We're going to do a quick bit about United. And Pete, I'll come to you on, Anik, I'll come to you on this. I mean, Farooq touched on it earlier. Tonight's performance helps us a lot, I think, in terms of knowing what is working well and what isn't working well. And you don't kind of go floating into that Manchester United game, even if they are performing poorly at the moment, as we've seen in previous fixtures.
Let's make no mistake about it. This is the biggest fixture in the Premier League. It's the one they're going to be up for. It's the one we're obviously going to be up for. I think based on today's performance shows that, yeah, we can win ugly, quite reminiscent of 1920, 1819, which is good. This is a fixture no team wants to lose. So as much as United fans or I don't know how widely they can turn around and say that they want to lose this game so that Ollie gets sacked or this, that and the other. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, man. They might do another protest, isn't it, to get the game postponed?
Yeah,
It's all good. It's all, you know, doing soo outside the stadium when it's all rosy and good. But you know, when the shit hits the fan, it's, you know, golden green all the way, baby.
Fingers crossed. We still play at 4:30 on Sunday. They're a bit of a crazy bunch. Those United fans. But look, I think it shows that we can win ugly. I think Atletico were very well drilled today. So they know exactly what they had to do when transitioning the play. I personally don't think United have that. Actually, I can tell you now, United do not have that. Ollie was playing five attackers up against at Leicester and it just seemed very clueless as to what they were doing. There was a great graphic from Sky Sports yesterday that showed out of all of their attackers, Jadon Sancho is the one that pressures the most. So they have no strikers or attackers that are willing to press and work hard, which what makes me think he's going to play McFred to try and make it a bit more difficult for us. I personally think United's game plan is going to be looking to hit us on the counter attack. I just hope we're a bit more ruthless when it comes to, well, not ruthless. I think we're just going to, I actually hope we continue doing what we're doing and are ruthless and literally take them apart. And whether or not Monday morning Ollie's sacked or not is the least of my worries. I just want us to beat him. I'll be honest with you.
I personally think he needs another 3 years at the club.
Yeah. But you, there's a lot of talk that, you know, if we do beat him, if we do beat them, you know, he's fired. I just care about Liverpool, and I'll be honest with you. Because it's a big game. It's definitely a big game for us.
100%. It's always a massive game, even when we've looked like we've had no chance of winning against Manchester United in the dark and dreary years. It's a game that you always kind of fully expect to try and get something out, or at least back in those days when we were absolutely crap, at least put in a decent effort and come away with something. You know, I'm leaving with something kind of performance. Farouk, I'll come to you. Kind of outline what Anik said there as well. Kind of watching how United have played since Ronaldo's been introducing the team, it's very noticeable that they are kind of struggling to adapt to playing to his style. Do you think that will still be the case come Sunday, or do you think Ole will have a bit of time or some tricks up his sleeve that he can play?
In terms of tricks, probably not. It's going to be lots of passion. You know, it's going to hope and bear passion, you know, and hope that the fact that it's a massive game can pull them through. Because, you know, let's be honest, top players, you know, they turn up. But honestly speaking, if we don't beat this United, seriously, I'll join Alex's camp and say we're not winning the league. Legit, there's no excuse for not beating a team this poor. Forget nerves, forget all of that. We beat them at Old Trafford last year. Was there a crowd? There wasn't a crowd, to be fair. But with the form Salah's in, you know, he owes Luke Shaw
a good hiding.
He does. And I just feel like Firmino's doing all right. I think they'll score. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we'll have a clean sheet. But I think we win 2-3-1. And I don't think, as a result, Ollie gets sacked just yet, because they're not expected to be us. But yeah, no. I look at that team. They're really bad, you know, guys. Like, jokes aside, they're really poor. And it's beautiful to see.
Like, their centre back, even their keeper, yeah. Like, he's letting the ball get lobbed over him from Tielemans. Like, his positioning was Leicester scored from United's free kick for the first goal. Just take that in. It was a United free kick and Leicester ended up scoring. Maguire was at fault for all three goals. Wan-Bissaka didn't know what he was doing.
Was doing on that third goal, where he basically turned to Miguel when he was doing that performance where he did the lunge. I have no idea what was going on there, but yeah.
Shocking.
Hopefully it's the exact same come Sunday. We have no idea what's going on. And Liverpool cruise out with a decent victory. Peter, putting your analytical cap on, what do you think the best way to victory is for Liverpool?
The best way to victory is, I think Roger said it in his press conference, is that they were able to play through Man United centrally, like, so easily. So literally, it's just playing penetrative balls in progressive balls right through, because again, like Anik said, they played five attackers, right? And obviously, when you play five attackers, you have Ronaldo who doesn't press, Greenwood is a striker playing right mid, Sancho, fair enough, he's used to pressing, but he can't do it alone. You have Bruno is trying to play up front, he doesn't really want to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's not really playing as a 10, he's playing as whatever he wants to play as. So, you have the centre mids who they have to cover so much ground, they don't really get much help. If it's Pogba or Matic, it's probably going to be Fred or McTominay. There's a lot of space centrally, and if we can get a lot of joy there. So I think I'm not sure he's going to start out Firmino and Jota. Maybe Jota might start, but I think we'll get a lot of joy in just playing direct balls through centrally, because they've got no structure. So yeah,
it's a game for me.
I personally don't think they're going to look to come at us. I actually think they're going to play really reserved. I actually think they're going to look to, like, part of the bus with Fred. I'll be honest with you.
Maybe, Chris, like you said, like, if Ollie does have a trick up his sleeve, it will be that they try and attack us early on.
Yeah. It's a weird one because that's just something Ferguson obviously always used to do. When they played us at Anfield, he'd kind of like keep it subdued, take the crowd out of it, and they would run out with like a 1-0 win where it came off, you know, Ferdinand or a Vidic or a fucking Wes Brown, someone, the most random person would score and they come out. So he might look to do something like that, considering that, you know.
The dilemma we have, and I was saying this about our midfield, like we can't really get a right balance and rhythm. Who do you start midfield?
We don't have anyone.
This is a game where you'd really want Thiago. You'd really want him for this game.
Okay, go on, Anik.
It's literally who we have available. So I personally think definitely Fab has to play, Hendo has to play, and it's more than likely going to be Milner. Who else do we have?
I think Keita needs to start because we need that player who's going to be able to break down a lower block.
Was Jones on the bench today?
Who?
Was Curtis Jones on the bench today?
No, he stayed in Liverpool.
Okay. That might be an indication.
Potentially. He could potentially start.
Who would you start in that midfield?
I would start Naby, but he's not going to start. It's going to be Mona Hendo for Fabinho. That's the midfield. That's what we're going to see. I know the reason why I know that as well, because Naby played all three international games. He's played back-to-back in these two games. So Klopp was definitely going to rest him. And then playing against Preston North. And that's what I think the plan was. So I do imagine maybe he thought Thiago will be back sooner. I don't know on it, but I think it's going to be Milner, Hendo and Fabinho. That's what I think is going to happen. But even with that, still should be enough to beat them. And that's a horrible midfield, by the way.
Hopefully save Jones and Jones can come back in. But yeah, it's more likely to be that midfield.
He could play Firmino and Jota, you never know.
He could do. Could go for the blitz.
We got to be careful of that ball over the top. That could catch us out. Because even today, he caught us out a couple of times.
Mm.
Obviously, with Rashford there. And I think the way Greenwood plays, I'm not doubting his ability at all. I think he's a great individual player. But I think he is an individual player. I think we got to be careful of his, like, that individual brilliance where he picks up the ball, shoots it past a couple of players and shoots. Kind of like he's done last year and what he's done against Leicester. So we've got to be careful of him.
Yeah, it's true. But I'll be really, really disappointed if we don't win on Sunday, honestly speaking. You know,
can't believe that Greenwood and Martinelli was a thing, by the way, as a comparison.
Greenwood's unbelievable, you know.
He's like a brilliant player.
He's really good.
And let's be careful, man. This is no ops, man.
He's a brilliant player,
You ain't trying to cut us.
Nico, you saw that shot by Nico. He came
cheeky shot at the end. Get a goal in it.
Hey, he's shameless. What game was it last? Like not last season. You know when we won the league and he came on and he looked like a superstar. He looked like Hakimi reincarnated.
I remember. I think it might have been
Villa. Palace, you know.
Yeah, it's Palace, isn't it?
Yeah, Palace, yeah.
Yeah, he's shameless, man. He's shameless.
He's got a whip on him now. He can cross. You might see him going forward.
Yeah. Man, he can dribble. He can dribble. Oh, my gosh. We've got Trent 2.0. he's dead. Sorry, guys.
He'd be a good player in a wing-back system.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, send him to Burnley or something. I don't know.
And we wish him well.
On that note,
I think that'd be a good place to end it. Of course, all of your pre Liverpool versus Manchester United match coverage, do head over to the Patreon page. That is www.patreon.com/copandfracas. And of course, the fight card will be live on the Social Line Fracas YouTube page, 9 p.m. this Thursday. Tune in, support the boys. I've been your host, Krish. I've been joined by Anik, Peter, and Farouk. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Cop and Fracas. Hopefully, we will see you next Wednesday with another 3 points, a Manchester United victory, well, a Liverpool victory against Manchester United, and the bragging rights in tow as well.
If someone cuts that, if someone edits that, you're done. You're done.
Yeah, I know. It is quarter to 12, though.
We know what you meant, Chris. Liverpool win.
Always Liverpool win. But until then, we'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
Generation on and more for the 19th time in their history, for the first time in the Premier League, in the never to be forgotten year of 2020, the champions of England
Podcast Network.